Now through April 25th, buy or lease a new or pre-owned vehicle from Bill Curry Ford and receive a pair of season tickets for the 2019 Bucks season. Season tickets, not two tickets, season tickets in 2019 to see your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Get to BillCurryFord.com. New general manager Sean Sullivan has rolled out this fantastic offer for Bucks fans. Buy or lease a new or pre-owned vehicle from Bill Curry Ford, and you get those tickets. BillCurryFord.com.
Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Did you think it was over, Tampa? Did you think the game was over? Did you think the series was over? Did you think they were no match for us in the first period of game one? This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, and presented all season long by our good pals, Bill Curry Ford. New general manager Sean Sullivan wants you to head to BillCurryFord.com today for all the latest deals. I think there was a pre-roll again today. So, all right, you know the drill. Did you think it was over? I think the boys did. I think our skaters did. I think Andre Vasilevsky did. I think the coaching staff did. I think all involved had to learn a lesson that we have been taught many times before, but it just sometimes it doesn't sink in. And so yet another group has to learn the hard way that the Stanley Cup playoffs are a little bit different. 3-0 after one period does not a game end right then and there. A 60-minute effort is going to be necessary more times than not. Three periods were available to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Since we last spoke, we dominated one of them. We got dominated in two others, and we lost the game 4-3. We're up 3-0 after 20 minutes. Had some chances to extend the lead, including one that cling off the post, off the stick of Nikita Kucherov. Had a 2-on-0 that Bobrovsky saved. We had a Steven Stamkos point-blank opportunity off of a mad scramble at the end of the first period. It was famine, then feast for Mr. Sergei Bobrovsky. He was awful for the first 18 and a half minutes of this game, and then he was great for the rest of it. And we decided that we don't need to play the right way up 3-0. We have completely overwhelmed our opponent. They're no match for us. So you know what? Let's play a little bit undisciplined because we can run this thing up. We can score 6 or 7 goals. And what happened? This is the one thing, guys, you know, when it wasn't about Sergei Bobrovsky, what did I talk about with Columbus on Monday? And it really, there are no surprises for me so far in this series. It's the counterattack. It's their ability, if you're a little careless with the puck, to be in a 3-on-1. A 2-on-1 like that. That's what they are. They're a lot faster than they may seem because they crawl into a shell, they turtle a little bit, and then you make a mistake at the blue line, and bam, there they go. And that's how this game got turned on its head. I'm going to be non-linear today to try and describe the disappointment, the frustration of being down 1-0 in the series. I would like to put this disclaimer out there. Do I think that we are in some way screwed here? No. But I do think that we have breathed life into a Columbus team that was already playing with reckless abandon that we did not need to. We have given reason for Sergei Bobrovsky to get over a career playoff slump. We have given reason for this team to believe. And they're dangerous enough to beat us in a best of seven. I still like us to win the series, but damn it, man, you have them by the neck in game one, and you let them come back. That's how eights beat ones. Crap like that on Wednesday. So, the nonlinear talking points. Ryan McDonagh takes home the award for being the GOAT of the game. You have four players below the circles in the offensive zone. If you check the last part of the podcast on Wednesday or Monday, excuse me, this is one of my fears. There is no reason on this earth, in this universe, as we understand it, when you're up 3 to nothing to make a decision like Ryan McDonagh did, passing back to the point across the rink to Eric Chernak. That is a selfish play. That is a losing play. And that is the reason, principally speaking, that Columbus is back in this game at all. His mistake is the greatest mistake in this game. And it's really stupid. Guys, it sounds like I'm picking on him, but in hockey IQ terms, situational hockey terms, this is a 1 out of 10. That play is ridiculous. It cannot happen again. It can't. What else went wrong? Because he certainly wasn't the only culprit for what happened to us in game one. Okay. We backed off. We allowed Columbus to build momentum by getting through the neutral zone largely unchecked for the second and third periods. What happens when you do that? Well, the long change in the second period, it leads to 90-second, two-plus-minute shifts for your defensemen. Jan Rutta was out there one time in the second period. I was like, how the heck, there you go, is 44 still out there? I mean, was this guy going to play 30 minutes tonight? And obviously, I was kind of tongue-in-cheek, but when you get pinned down in your own zone and you don't make the right plays about get it out, get it to the red line, get it deep to get a change, these kind of fundamentals can come back and bite you. And so the momentum of this game had completely shifted in the second period. Normally, I would play some audio from John Cooper. He was speaking to that end in the postgame. And one of the beat reporters, I believe it was Eric Erlandson of LightningInsider.com, but if it wasn't, okay, sorry, somebody else, alertly asked him the question, what do you think about the final 40 minutes? In so many words, they asked about the second and the third period. And Cooper, he's got two roles here. One is to kind of give you the best answer he can, but then the other is to circle the wagons to protect his team. So I'm not fully placing the blame on him, but I'm also not going to play the audio of his answer because I believe it to be disingenuous and garbage. Cooper says in response, well, we're up 3-1 with 15 minutes to go. No. It doesn't matter that you're up 3-1 with 15 minutes to go. You played like garbage from minute 21 through 60 of this hockey game. You allowed a team that was dead to come back. You played with complacency. It's a complaint I've had about this team since Cooper took over as head coach. Now, we've had a lot of core players here for that entire time. So maybe it's in the DNA of a Stamkos or a Kucherov or somebody else. I don't know. But it's the same head coach, and we have this problem far too routinely where we have complacency in our game. 3-0 was enough. It was enough to play undisciplined hockey. That's what they told you on Wednesday night, and that has to change. The good news is we are too gifted to have this be our death knell. One bad loss, one blown lead. Our first 3-0 blown lead or 3-goal lead where we've actually lost the hockey game in 106 games. The first time in 106 games we've held that advantage and actually lost the hockey game. Hurts that it comes in the playoffs, but this is a bit of an outlier. My whole thing is maybe this is the lesson we needed early enough in the playoffs that we can rally around, move forward with, and dominate from. Maybe from this point on, we have learned our lesson, and some of the younger guys, like a Chernak, can see what veteran Ryan McDonagh did and say, ooh, I don't want to do that. That's correct, Eric. That's never a good play. Not up 3 goals. At any point, up 3 goals. That's like swinging for the fences down 4 in the bottom of the 9th. What does your run mean? You got to get on base, man. You want to swing for the downs? Your job is to get on base one way or another. However, a home run, a walk, it doesn't matter. So why are you swinging, looking for a 125-mile-per-hour exit velocity? That's vanity. That can't happen. So we back off in the second and third periods. I thought we got, obviously, out of our structure a little bit, and I think our top two lines were pretty bad in this game. There I said it. I don't know if they need to switch up the lines or not, but Tony C., the Bolt father himself, his line was clearly the best in this game, and that can happen in the playoffs, especially when it's so matchup heavy that maybe your best get canceled out by their best. I'm talking about our forwards and their defensemen. But we have enough depth that one of our two top lines has to produce. And so maybe we go back to the other line combinations. Tampa canceled practice yesterday. They made just a couple of players available to the media. So I don't know if they're just trying to shield the fact that they're going to be changing their lines or their approach or something like that. But we'll see what our top six look like coming out tonight for game two. You just have to have your stars perform a little bit better. I get it that Steven and Kucherov generated a couple of chances. Kucherov with an inexplicable pass back to Stamkos in a two-on-one when he's in the slot and he has a clear line into the net. I don't know what the heck that's about. They had a 2-on-0 as well, and then we had a mad scramble play at the end of the first period where Stamkos has a rebound opportunity as time is expiring, and Bobrovsky comes up with a big glove save. There was also a big save in the third period when we're down, and Braden Point gets the puck from kind of a short angle, but he nearly hits the far post. It's a great play by Andre Palat to win a puck along the boards, feeds it to Kucherov to Point, and that was probably our last best chance in this game. We weren't devoid of chances, but we should be far more potent in the top six than we were. So look for that in this game. Look for the lesson to be learned. How many times must the lesson be learned? I feel like I'm quoting Gary Oldman's Churchill here in the longest hour, but that's how I feel. That's how I feel. I waited an extra day to try to keep my emotions in check, and I'm doing my best. But this was a choke job in the first game. This was absolutely a cool runnings John Candy choke job.
You choked. It was yours for the taking, and you choked. You were ready, and you choked.
We came out with our hair on fire, and then we decided that enough was enough, and we don't have to play within our structure. So, you know what? If we go on to win the cup, and the worst that happened in the playoff run was we got really angry about blowing a 3-0 lead against Columbus in game one of the first round of the playoffs, so that's fine. Then we can laugh about it then. But for now, it's a serious matter, and it should be treated and responded to seriously. Will we do it? The one thing that surprised me, I said nothing surprised me about this game. There was one thing. I knew that Columbus had to pick its poison as to how it wanted to attack us. And in the first period, they did a great montage of it, a little mashup from Brian Engblom to start the second. Columbus sat back. I mean, it was crazy. They sat back in this first period. They wanted to play conservatively. They let us get into a rhythm. And it's like a good quarterback. You play zone defense against a good quarterback. You drop 8 in coverage. What's it going to do? He's going to pick your butt apart. And that's what we did offensively speaking. But then, obviously, the tide of the game turned. We got pressured more up the ice. You could see it in our game that we were a little bit flustered. And we were shocked by the fact that Columbus was still hanging around. Why aren't they lying down? They should be dead in a corner. We went up 3-0 in the first period. Don't they know how great we are? The tide of the game turned. And, hey, credit to these guys. They're having fun as they're playing. Look at them. Look at that bench. Look at Coach Tortorella. Remember John in 2004? It's not the same guy that you see in 2019. He stops and smells the roses a little bit more. He's appreciative of every moment that he gets in this playoff run because he knew how hard it was to get there. They've been desperate for the better part of 6 weeks. They made trades at the deadline to go all in, even though they're likely to lose Bobrovsky and Panarin next year, in July in free agency. And so they went all in, hoping that this might be the time to fall into one. And they had to rally back because shortly after the trading deadline, Columbus was playing terrible hockey. And so the hockey world was pointing and laughing at them, saying, man, maybe they shouldn't have made these moves. Guess that's going to get your coach and general manager fired. And then they responded, and they played really good hockey for the last 2 weeks coming into this postseason. And if you watch the Rangers game that I cited with an erroneous goal scorer. Panarin's goal was to go up 2-1. Torts had his heart in his throat as they blew that lead with 7 seconds to go. He had his heart in his throat for the whole of overtime and the shootout. And he's wearing his emotions on his sleeve that tell me he's truly appreciative and relaxed in the moment. And so, too, does his team look like that. A lot of times, a team is an extension of its head coach, and Columbus is playing loose. Talked a lot about Columbus, talked a lot about what they do. What about what we do? And certainly, what do we do moving forward? That's going to be next on the Joe Bulls Fan Podcast.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin go call. You're riding the lightning on the Joe Bulls Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
If the guitar in this analogy is my fanhood, then yes, it is gently weeping after a game one loss. I wanted to play The Doors, man. I wanted to play a little L.A. Woman. I hadn't queued it up because I know better. Stanley Cup playoffs, nothing is assured, and a lot of interesting results across the league. Everybody's played one game entering Friday. You've got Toronto pasting Boston last night 4-1. That was a shocker in TD Garden. Good for the Maple Leafs. That guarantees now, in my mind, that series is going to go six games. See, that's how they look at us. They're just like, well, good job, Columbus. Good. You're going to tire out Tampa, tucker them out a little bit at the very least, if not outright upset them. Dallas beats Nashville in the House of the Predators when they're second-rate fans. And they're up 1-0 in that series. Washington was nearly surprised by Carolina last night. The Caps get up to a 3-0 lead in the first period. Sound familiar? And Carolina gets that to 3-2 in the third, but they can't break even with the Caps, and so Washington holds on. And then it's the Islanders. They're out. They're playing in Long Island. They'll be in Brooklyn next round. So the New York Brooklynites Islanders take a 1-0 lead in that series in the East. Out West, Calgary handles Colorado in the first game 4-0. Mike Smith is the first Calgary Flame in franchise history, former Tampa Bay Lightning goaltender Mike Smith, that is, first Calgary Flames netminder in their franchise history to record a shutout in game one of any playoff series. San Jose takes care of the Golden Knights. That's a 5-2 final for the Sharks. They're really dangerous. St. Louis, a somewhat surprising result because of where the game was played in Winnipeg, but if you look at the way these two teams were playing down the stretch, you'd probably pick St. Louis in that series. So the Blues win 2-1 in game one of their best of seven with the Winnipeg Jets. And then, of course, there's us. We are the talk of the hockey world because I watched a lot of playoff hockey. I can still do that even when we lose. Does it take a little wind out of the sail? Sure, but I appreciate the sport so much. And be it a Canadian broadcast, a West Coast game, it does not matter. We are the talk of the league. The blowing of that 3-0 lead is the talk of the league. So we scrapped practice yesterday. It's probably in part just to let the guys get away and reset emotionally and mentally for a big game two for us. But I think also in part it might be because the line rushes are getting mixed up. We'll see what that top six looks like. But how about the defensive pairs? The media down in Tampa, I think, ran with this narrative a little bit too aggressively. The idea that Jan Ruta draws in over Braden Coburn. I don't know that I want to look at that relationship as much as I would look at Dan Girardi and Braden Coburn. Girardi is just coming off of a serious injury where he was considered a couple of weeks ago to probably not be ready for the playoffs. And as it turned out, it was backwards as the information looked 2 weeks ago. Strawman was going to be ready for the postseason, and Girardi was not. Now Strawman's out, and I don't know that he's going to be back for Game 2. It doesn't sound great, but we'll see. I have to go to warm-ups to take a look at that. But if you're going to be playing Girardi over Coburn for straight-up reasons, I have my doubts. Something's up there. I don't think it's just about Anton being banged up. I understand that Coburn has been listed as a healthy scratch, but you need some speed on defense, and Girardi, you're going to let that slow-footed guy play top minutes with Victor Hedman and sit Coburn because everything is on equal footing, because everybody's equally healthy? I don't buy it. So I'm going to be looking with an interested eye to see what the deal is with Braden Coburn moving forward. Is Anton Strawman available tonight, Sunday, at some point here? Hopefully so. But obviously when John Cooper was talking about him earlier in the week, it sounded like it's something serious that Anton has to fight through. So that's what I'm looking for, is the jumbling of the top six forwards and then our six defensemen. Does Coburn draw in? Is he capable of doing it? How about Anton? Keep an eye on pregame warmups tonight. Once again, it is a 7 p.m. puck drop for game two. This is just about committing to a 60-minute game. If we do so, I think we're going to win four out of the next six and move on to the next round. But I'm angry about allowing this team that we could have put down early to come back, give them a reason to believe, give a reason for Bobrovsky to be the great goaltender that he can be, give a reason to this bench of a lot of young upstart players and some, kind of cast-offs or trade pieces to come together and bond. I don't like that, man. If you've got a chance as a dominant team, you should put somebody down. That is the mark of a good team. You do what you are supposed to do. So while this isn't strike three, we are now, down 0-1, and we've got to find a way to rally. Desperation. Desperation and a commitment to 60 minutes. Do we see it tonight? If we do, I think we walk away with a victory. The plan is to have a Joe Bolts fan podcast for you next Friday. If there is a bonus one, you'll know about it by it popping up on your feed, but I do not anticipate being called upon to do one between now and the eve of Game 5. We're not going to get swept, so we'll be playing that Game 5, I would most certainly expect. If we do, you can blame me. But this has been the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, brought to you all postseason long now by our friends at Bill Curry Ford. Not as happy of an addition. I was talking about, how do you describe all this winning? Well, here's adversity, guys. How do we face it? Come on, Captain Stamkos. I need you, not just on the score sheet. Lead these boys. We'll talk to you next Friday.